this morning and tonight, recording the lesson on video, posting it to Facebook. So that will be there, and Ron is recording back there, so we'll have the audio for the website also. So we're trying to keep all that caught up, as long as we don't have the technical difficulties that we continue to struggle with. So it's good to see everybody out. It's always wonderful and a privilege to come out and study God's Word. And we're just happy to be here. We always welcome out visitors that are with us that have the opportunity to join us. We ask that you stick around and let us get to know you if you are visiting with us. So to go along with the lesson that we had talked about this morning, we talked about the Lord's Supper. Of course, in the final point, within talking about the Lord's Supper, we went through 1 Corinthians 11. And as you get past where it talks that it's about remembering his sacrifice, remembering what he has done, but it's also about taking it in a worthy manner. And when we take it in a worthy manner, that we make sure we do it the correct way. So I want to talk about worship service altogether this evening. And to the fact that the lesson is, what good is it to worship if not in spirit and in truth? What good is it to worship if not in spirit and truth? Of course, as we come along that question, it's from John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, and you read there, and in verse 24 where Jesus says this, but before he says that, he was coming to the well, and the woman ends up asking him, you know, she perceived that he was somebody, someone with knowledge, and didn't quite know who he was, but she asked him. She said, our people say it's okay to go and worship on the mountain. We need. Others say we need to go to the temple, Jerusalem. What do you say? Where are we to worship? And Jesus makes it clear it's not about where one worships, but how one worships. Where our hearts are when we gather together to worship our God. So, he says there in John 4, 24, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. That's what we're going to be talking about this evening. What good is it to go forth and be up here and preach if I'm not preaching in spirit and truth? If we're not listening and applying his word with open hearts and ready minds? What good is it to go through and say prayer with one another if not in spirit and truth? Or to sing praises if not in spirit and truth? Or give back to God if not in spirit and truth? Or, as we talked about this morning, participate in the Lord's Supper if not in spirit and truth? What good is it? Start on that first point. What good is it to preach? What good is it if I'm up here presenting the Word of God and not doing it the way God has intended it to be preached? You look at time and again when Paul made mention, when he spoke boldly. He made it clear that these are the words of God. Ephesians chapter 6, as we become soldiers of Christ, as we become soldiers of Christ, we are put on this armor of God. As it talks about, starting there in verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So he says, put on the whole armor of God. And then you get down to verse 17, and he says there, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer, supplication, and spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought. What good is it to present the word if we don't truly firmly believe what we teach? If we're not firmly speaking as we believe it is the truth, saying that it is indeed the Word of God, as we study in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, where it goes forth and says, all Scripture is
believe that, if we don't truly have our hearts set in that, our minds set on that, what good is it to get up and teach it? What good is it to sit here and listen if we don't believe that it has any good? What good does it give? We're here to worship God. Therefore, the only way we know how to do that is how He has told us to do it. To preach His Word as He has commanded us to do. Romans 10 verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So therefore, we have to be willing to listen and check the Scriptures. As we see the example there in Acts 17, in verse 11, Acts 17, and in verse 11, says, these were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They searched daily to make sure that they had the truth. They searched the Scriptures to make sure that whatever was being taught was the Word of God. Why I encourage that everybody open up their Bibles, that they search the Scriptures as I teach them. Or at least as I know a lot of people do, I see them writing notes down, that they take those notes home and they double check and make sure that it is the Word of God that's being taught. Because if I make a mistake, I want to know that I can change it. We have to be willing to search and teach in spirit and in truth. What good is it to pray if not in spirit? If not doing it the way God has commanded us to do, and not having faith in that prayer, if we're not listening to what the brother is praying when he comes forward and prays at the beginning of services, when we say a prayer before the Lord's Supper, or we say prayer at the end of services, if we're not focused on what is being said, what good does it do? 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And you read there in verse 15, it says, what is the conclusion? What is the conclusion then? I will pray with spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. It says, we need to pray with understanding. Understanding what is being said. It makes a real point right here, because they've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit here, talking about prophesying, and of course we know they could speak in tongues, and that point was made before. And what good would it do them if they spoke in tongues and no one understood a word that they were saying? No one can say amen to it because they don't know what you said. Same thing comes along when we say prayer and then you just hear someone else say amen, you say amen with it. Do you know what we said? Do you know why you said amen? What you are agreeing with? What it is you desire God to help us with? What it is that we are thankful for when we say amen? Do you pray prayer of truth with understanding? Do you pray believing that God will answer our prayers? James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1, and reading there in verse 5, here talks about one who is needing wisdom, or needing strength. Here, James 1, verse 5, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubt. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let us ask in faith, believing that He will answer our prayer. When we pray for the sick, we know He's listening. When we pray for the work here, we know He's listening. And we know that He can help us. We know that He has a plan and that we will go along with His plan. Do we pray believing that these things can happen? Again, it's made mention, Jesus made mention in Mark. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11, and in verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you will have it. Now understand, as we pray, when we read these things and we have that much faith in God, that doesn't mean God can't say no from time to time. But when we go to God in prayer and we ask for certain things, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is later on down the road that takes place. We have the direct example as Jesus prayed as he was in the garden. That he prayed that this cup pass from him, that he did not have to go through the suffering. But he says, not my will be done, but yours. This is the only thing that can happen. Let's get it over. Let's do it. We have to have faith when we pray. That includes when we gather together with one another. We pray with each other. That we pray in spirit and truth. That our minds are focused on that prayer that is being led. That our hearts are ready and listening to accept that prayer as it's being led by one of our brethren. What good is it to sing if not in spirit and truth? You go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, what we read at the beginning of the prayer, it goes in the same point. It says, what is the conclusion? And I will pray, with understanding. I'll pray in spirit. But he also goes further and say, I will sing with understanding. I will sing with spirit. Same thing with our singing. Are we singing in spirit and truth? We are singing according to the commandments, the way he has commanded us to sing. The question of why we don't add instruments to our music or our worship, just we don't have a book. We don't see an approved example throughout the New Testament to do so. That's why we don't do that. And we see that the command is not to any direct certain person, but it's to all. So we are all to sing with one another. And as you turn, you open your Bibles, you turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And you read there in verse 16. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and always, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And in whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Here, it says, I mean, it's spiritual songs. We're not just singing any kind of hymn. I like the hymn books we have. Not all hymn books have it, but I like the hymn books we have because they have the Bible verse to go up on top of it. When they put this hymnal together, they looked at the songs and looked for Bible verses that they thought helped prepare our minds to show how it is a spiritual song. That it binds up with the Word of God. Because we're supposed to sing with grace in our hearts. Sing with melody in our hearts. We're supposed to sing to teach and admonish one another, but it comes back to the same point of me preaching. Are we listening to the words that are being sung? Are we listening to what is being sung? Are we just listening to the tune of the music and drowning out the words? Because the words are what matter. And our hearts, our spirits being in the right place is what matters. Are we singing in spirit and truth? Otherwise, what does this do? If we're not here in spirit, what good is it to get back during the collection if our minds are not in the right spot? If we are not giving back open-hearted, wanting to get back to our Lord? 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Read here. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, lay each one of you, laying something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. This brings out here the collection for the saints. We are given back to God, but what God is using it for. Of course, we know that he doesn't physically reach down and take the money from his blessing and put it up in his treasury up in heaven. What that money goes for is the work for the saints. What it's there for is if brethren are in hard times, we can have benevolence for one another. So when we give back, that is, should be in our mindset that we are giving back to God to help his work. We're giving back to God to help his children, his family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Therefore, when we give back, we shouldn't be like, well, here's the change out of my pocket. When we give back, we shouldn't be acting here, I really don't want to do this. I'd like to save back with a nice gift for vacation. When we're making that decision, it's you have to pay your bills, you have to take care of certain things, we have to pay insurance, we have to pay our taxes. God shouldn't come last in our priorities. All right, what's left over? If we have cut back, vacation should be cut back before God's contribution. How often is it, and I brought this point out and I've used it time and again in terms of, I don't know if I brought it up in years since I've been here yet, but you know, the mindset of maybe wanting to give back, wanting to give back more to God, praying to God, because I've been there where I've prayed to God that we're able to find more funds, and I've had to search for outside support. When I worked in Tennessee, that I had twice worked at Walmart while preaching full time because they weren't able to fully support me. And at that time, I was looking for extra support just to support my family. Do we ever get to that point, God, I wish I made a little bit more so that I could give back to you? I don't have enough extra to give as much as I desire to give back to God. Because we should want to give back. We talked about how much Christ went through, how much he had given us. 2 Corinthians 9:7. 2 Corinthians 9:7. I know that this ain't necessarily talking about the contribution right here. It says, so let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. But I believe it can very well apply. We should think about it, whether it's giving back to one another, whether it's aiding some stranger as the opportunity arrives, whether it's given upon the first day of the week, that we should not give grudgingly. That we shouldn't be grinding our teeth, holding that tight until the last second, and dropping. But being cheerful, be able to help, as we brought out throughout our study of Titus, that we are zealous for good works, ready to give as the opportunity awaits. Or we could be like Ananias and Sapphira there in Acts chapter 5, where they just gave so that they could be praised by everybody else. So that when everybody saw, wow, you sold everything and you gave it all to God, all for the work of the apostles, they just wanted the glory rather than wanting to give back to God because they truly wanted to help them. And they ended up lying to Peter, the Holy Spirit, to God, which they were punished for. We need to want to give back. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time this evening on the next point, the last part of the worship services that we talked about it this morning, but what good is it to take the Lord's Supper if not in spirit? If our hearts are not in the right place. We went through this morning, we talked about all that Christ had went through us, for us. All the pain and suffering that he went through for us. And we're supposed to take that and remember it. Remembering the sacrifice that he had made. Remembering that he lived in a physical body upon this earth. That he left his throne in heaven. That he came down and was persecuted. That he was scourged. That he was beat. That he was nailed to a cross. And that he died. we read this morning there in 1 Corinthians 11, where it tells us that if we take this in an unworthy manner, we are guilty of the blood of Christ. What good does it do to take from something not in spirit? What good does it do to be here at all? Our minds are saying, man, I wish I were somewhere else. I could be at home watching the game. We could be out playing at the park. Of course, there are many things that we could think. There's things I need to take care of that truly do need to take care of. And it's not just for your own fun, but you know, school, kids got to get home and do homework. House needs taken care of. Certain things need taken care of. The grass needs mowed. There are things that need to be done. But when we gather together, when we're here to worship God, our minds need to be focused on our worship service. Focused on the prayer that is being rushed. Focused on the songs that are being sung. Focused on the scripture that is being read. Focus on the Lord's death and sacrifice. Remember, for all that they have given to us, they want to give back to God. So we are extending the Lord's invitation this evening to any who desire to obey the Word of God, to any who desire to come forward and ask for prayers of congregation. If there's anything that we can do for you, let it be known.
Saw me.